Loyalty or disloyalty? March 23, 1899. In past ages, the Lord God of heaven revealed his secrets to his prophets, and this he does still. The present and the future are equally clear to him, and he shows to his servants the future history of what shall be. The Omniscient looked down the ages and predicted through his prophets the rise and fall of kingdoms hundreds of years before the events foretold took place. The voice of God echoes down the ages, telling man what is to take place. Kings and princes take their places at their appointed time. They think they are carrying out their own purposes, but in reality, they are fulfilling the word God has given through his prophets. They act their part in carrying out God's great purposes. Events fall into line, fulfilling the word God has spoken. The unbelieving and godless do not discern the signs of the times. In ignorance, they may refuse to accept the inspired record. But when professed Christians speak sneeringly of the ways and means employed by the great I Am to make his ways and purposes known, they show themselves to be both ignorant of the Scriptures and of the power of God. The Creator knows just what elements he has to deal with in human nature. He knows that means to employ to obtain the desired end. The Christian who accepts the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, will look at Bible history in its true bearing. The past, the history of the Jewish economy from the beginning to the end, instead of being spoken of contemptuously and sneered at as the Dark Ages, will reveal light, and still more light, as it is studied. Man's word fails, and he who takes the assertions of man as his dependence may well tremble, for he will one day be as a shipwrecked vessel. But God's word is infallible and endures forever. Christ declares, "Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." Matthew 5, verse 18. God's word will endure through the ceaseless ages of eternity. God lives and reigns. His glory is not confined to the temple made with hands. He has not closed heaven against his people. As in the Jewish age, so in this age, God reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The image shown to Nebuchadnezzar in the visions of the night represents the kingdoms of the world. The metals in the image, symbolizing the different kingdoms, became less and less pure and valuable. The head of the image was of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the sides of brass, and the feet and toes iron mingled with clay. So the kingdoms represented by them deteriorated in value. The result of making void the law of God may be seen in the immorality of these several kingdoms. If they had kept the fear of the Lord ever before them, they would have been given wisdom and power, which would have bound them together and kept them strong. But the rulers of the kingdoms of the world made God their strength only when harassed and perplexed. Failing to get help from their great men, they sought it from men like Daniel, whom they knew honored the living God, and were honored by him. To these men they appealed to unravel the mysteries of providence to them, for they had so far separated themselves from God by transgression that they could not understand his warnings. They were forced to appeal to those illuminated by heavenly light to explain the mysteries they did not comprehend. Daniel, a man inspired by God, stood up in the Babylonian Empire when the kingdom seemed so strong and its influence so far-reaching that the most powerful foe could not take its scepter, and prophesied that it would pass away, notwithstanding its apparent magnificence, and that a second would succeed it. He prophesied also that the second empire would be succeeded by the third, and that a fourth empire would arise, more fierce, more determined, and more powerful than any kingdom that had preceded it. As strong as iron, this kingdom would subdue and break in pieces all the nations of the world. This picture passes before us as a panorama. In spite of the warning he had received, Nebuchadnezzar went on in his own strength, till God took from him the talent of wisdom, that he might be brought to see and acknowledge the living God as one able to create and to destroy. Babylon passed away because in her prosperity she forgot God and ascribed the honor and glory of her prosperity to human achievements. So today, when men refuse to obey the law of God, they are humiliated. God tests them, and if they do not humble their hearts and confess their sins, they receive the penalty of transgression. The Medo-Persian kingdom was visited by the wrath of God, because in it his law was trampled underfoot. The fear of God possessed no power among the people. Wickedness, blasphemy, and corruption were the prevailing influences in this kingdom. And the kingdoms that followed were even more base and corrupt. They deteriorated because they cast God off. As they forgot him, they sank lower and lower in the scale of moral value. The vast empire of Rome crumbled into pieces. The Church of Rome boasts of her infallibility and of her hereditary religion. But this religion is a horror to all who are acquainted with the secrets of the mystery of iniquity. The priests of this church maintain their ascendancy by keeping the people in ignorance of the will of God. While representing the kingdoms of this earth, the image revealed to Nebuchadnezzar also fitly represents the deterioration of religion. We grow weak morally and spiritually just in proportion as we forget God. Those who claim to be Protestants are not today what Luther was. They have left the old landmarks and have depended on forms, ceremonies, and outward display to make up for the lack of purity and piety, meekness and lowliness found in obedience to God. It is sin that is ruining nations today. Even leaders in the religious world have not a good conscience toward God. There is no real standard of righteousness apart from the law of God. By obedience to this law, the intellect is cultivated, the conscience enlightened and made sensitive. Righteousness exalteth a nation. People need an intelligent knowledge of God's law. The words of the Bible and the Bible alone should be echoed from the pulpits of our land. God speaks in His Word and fulfills this Word in the world. We need now to seek to understand the movements of God's providence. Said Paul, "Ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4, 5. The Bible is God's great director. It is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It flashes its light ahead, that we may see the path by which we are traveling, and its rays are thrown back on past history, showing most perfect harmony in that which to the mind in darkness appears like error and discord. In that which seems to the worldling an inexplicable mystery, God's children see light and beauty. God has marked out the way with His prophetic guideposts. We are not left to depend on man's wisdom. The great waymarks God Himself has raised show us that the path of obedience is the only path we can follow with certainty. Men break their word and prove themselves untrustworthy, but God changes not. His word will abide the same forever. Those who love and obey the law of Jehovah will meet with trials and temptations, but this is only what Jesus met, and He declares, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." John 10, verse 27, 28. If we hope and pray, and by faith trust His word, we shall be able to say with Paul, "I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8, verse 38, 39. Have we wholly given ourselves up to do God's will? Are we transformed by the grace of Christ? Some claim to be in Christ, while their special work is to make void the law of Jehovah. Shall we take their word for it? Shall we accept their assertions? How shall we distinguish God's true servants from the false prophets, which Christ said should arise to deceive many? There is only one test of character, the law of Jehovah. The Israelites placed over their doors a signature of blood to show that they were God's property. So every child of God in this age will bear the signature God has appointed. They will place themselves in harmony with God's holy law. A mark is placed upon every one of God's people, just as verily as a mark was placed over the doors of the Hebrew dwellings, to preserve the people from the general ruin. God declares, "I gave them My Sabbaths to be a sign between Me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify them. Ezekiel 20, verse 12. When men say that the law of God is abrogated by the testimonies of the fathers, they are teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Their word is not founded upon the teaching of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ is not the chief cornerstone of their structure. John says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." 1 John 2, verse 4. Those who permit themselves to be deceived will, with the deceiver, feel the wrath of the Lamb. With God's word before us, with the lesson of instruction we may there learn, there is no need for us to be deceived. We are living in a momentous period in this earth's history. The great conflict is just before us. We see the world corrupted under the inhabitants thereof. The man of sin has worked with a marvelous perseverance to exalt a spurious Sabbath, and the disloyal Protestant world has wondered after the beast and has called obedience to the Sabbath instituted by Jehovah disloyalty to the laws of the nations. Kingdoms have confederated to sustain a false Sabbath institution, which has not a word of authority in the oracles of God. In the record of the vision given to John, we read, "The dragon was wroth with the woman, the church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Revelation 12, verse 17. Satanic agencies have made the earth a stage for horrors which no language can describe. War and bloodshed are carried on by nations claiming to be Christian. A disregard for the law of God has brought the sure result. The great conflict now being waged is not merely a strife of man against man. On the one side stand the Prince of Life, acting as man's substitute and surety. On the other, the Prince of Darkness, with the fallen angels under his command. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6, verse 12, 13, 10, 11. There will be a sharp conflict between those who are loyal to God and those who cast scorn upon his law. The church has joined hands with the world. Reverence to God's law has been subverted. The religious leaders have taught for doctrine the commandments of men. As it was in the days of Noah, so it is in this age of the world. But shall the prevalence of disloyalty and transgression cause those who have reverenced the law of God to have less respect for it, to unite with the powers of earth to make void God's law? The truly loyal will not be carried away by the current of evil. They will not throw scorn and contempt on that which God has set apart as holy. The test comes to every one. There are only two sides. Which are you on?